Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Shape is why Jerry Jones is so dominant right now. He's right. Really hard to hit. I think Paul Skeens is a guy that is going to pump a lot of pitches into early counts. You know, you're going to have stuff fouled off. He's going to walk a few. It was actually kind of mentioned. I saw it was, it was one of the guys at Baseball America that was almost kind of comping him to a Hunter Green. I think he's a better pitcher. I think his fastball is obviously better. But my point is I think he's going to have deeper innings that are going to be really tough for him to get to 5 or past 5. I think they are going to have a bigger care for his arm. And I think it's like he may have some bigger strikeout performances, but I think it's going to be tougher for him to get wins. We don't know the babying as far as what the innings go. And I also kind of think he might get hit just a tiny bit more. I think he can be SP 25 or 30, but if you get consistent 4 1/3 inning outings with 8 strikeouts and 2 or 3 runs and a couple walks, or even a 0-run performance and 9 strikeouts, he still might not go 5. So I'm leaning Jared Jones right now. So I'm dicey. If you're telling me like, hey, I'll trade you, you know, my Logan Gilbert for Paul Skeens, I don't know, maybe that's like Logan Gilbert's way more trustworthy and stuff like that. But I'm open to the possibility that, oh, maybe Skeens is going to be like top 25. I think that's still possible with all the negativity I'm bringing in here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can go and get Matt Olson or the struggling Corbin Carroll or Corbin no-brainers. Those are no-brainers. And that's what this 48 right. hours is. But I don't think the idea of selling him has to be that he will be a major failure. But I don't believe he's going to be the walk-away champion of the rest of this. He's not going to be Shoto Imanaga and how Imanaga has done as a rookie. I do not believe it will be the same thing.
Let me ask this real quick, Jeff. So the rookie mindset to trade them when they come up, and I love your answer of it can be both. It could be top 25, and right now can be the time to trade him. Is it an obvious trade for these struggling guys for the fact just because they're struggling and we know they're good players and they're likely to turn it around? Or does trading a pitcher for a hitter matter because of the crazy amount of pitcher injuries? And I'm sure there's reasons.
What do you mean by that? I didn't understand. What do you mean?
What I mean is like
Olson.
Yeah. Like Olson and Carroll. And, you know, those were the two you specifically mentioned. So is it obvious to trade a guy like Skeens in that scenario just for the fact that those guys are coming around? Or does the fact that it's a pitcher for a hitter trade also, you know, is that baked into that?
Well, that makes it harder, obviously, because we're, you know, none of us can get enough innings, right? None of us can get enough healthy pitchers. So, I mean, I get that.
But they don't stay healthy. So for my thought process is like, we'll trade them because they're probably going to get hurt. Well, but is that not the logic you're bringing to it?
No, I think that's a part of the picture too. Especially an extreme velocity guy. I mean, we've all seen the correlation between velocity and performance and the velocity and injury. I mean, both things, you know, again, are at work here, and Skeens is obviously an extreme velocity guy, and that is a concern that maybe he is going to break down at some point in time. It seems like it's just when and not if. And I think especially if you're in a dynasty league, you'd probably try to take advantage of that. That's where you run into those questions a little bit more, like how much value can Skeens have in a long-term fact there? I think that's where you could probably just make a mint with him in a dynasty league right now. But I think that's where I'm more inclined to do so too.
I have him. I have him in the Scott White League too. The Scott White Dynasty. It's a 24-team league, and they're all circling. The vultures are circling because White Lane. Okay, so let me ask you this one then. Rest of season, who would you rather have, Paul Skeens or Logan Webb?
Logan Webb.
Logan Webb's been struggling. Some of the underlying stuff doesn't look good too. Like, do you think that's close? I mean, you answered that really quick, but do you think it's,
yeah, I just like Logan Webb a lot. I don't know.
How about Paul Skeens or Chris Sale? Chris Sale's pretty good.
Yeah, Chris Sale's. Now, so here's where like recency bias kicks in a little bit, because at the beginning of the season, being, oh yeah, Skeens, definitely. But now Sale's been good and healthy so far, but so far it being the operative term with the health with Sale there. Landing in Atlanta seems like a good spot. I think I'm going to say Sale, but man, that's a tough call.
How about last one? Skeens or Snell?
Skeens.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't disagree with the now, but 6 weeks from now, we'll take a look. And maybe I'm underplaying team,
call me team never Blake Snell. That's fine.
Yeah, no, and I get that. I mean, maybe I'm underplaying the scheme side of it a little bit. Like I think he's going to be great, but I think there are some elements to his game that might make him, against the world's greatest hitters, make him a little bit more susceptible to be hit or have a few more walks. This also comes back to the idea or the question about these rookies in general. Like, I know you talk about like the opportunities of when to sell, but what about like from the pickup and let go situation? Obviously, you know, Langford was kind of a disappointment, gets hurt. Evan Carter's been a disappointment. Jackson Holliday is the epitome of a disappointment. And then you get the recent crew. Everybody gets very excited. I get very excited about talking about prospects, but it gets taken to another level when people are like, hey, should I drop, you know, Nick Castellanos to pick up Joey Lupercito? And, you know, these guys are out there, and Kyle Manzardo is kind of like the prime example right now, because two in, people are worn from prospects not being the best players on the planet. And Kyle Manzardo had 5 strikeouts in his first 2 games, and people were just losing their minds about it. And it's quite ridiculous. But what is your take on how to approach the rookies as far as what you cut to pick them up, your aggressiveness to pick them up, and if you pick them up, how long do you sit with it?
It's a great question, because I mean, just look at the excitement over Heston Kjerstad. Look at the excitement over Jackson Holliday. There's so many different ways this can go wrong, performance and team. You know, the team could not play a guy. Lopez is not playing every day, and it's kind of getting frustrating a little bit there. I think that you're probably, I mean, the thing is, we all want to get Corbin Carroll 2023, where you pushed him up and you still profited. It's possible still for that to happen, but we all forget about Jordan Walker 2023. We forget about Anthony Volpe 2023. Although Volpe is, at least he was still 2020 despite the batting average woes. But I do think like the Castellanos example is an interesting one too, because Castellanos right at that perfect age that it could be something that's long lasting, or it could be he could rebound just fine. You know, it's right teetering on the precipice. He's not in a Braves zone yet, but he's close. He could be close.
Yeah, the way you hold them. One of the things I was saying today was that I think in picking up all these guys, I think maybe the most important, this is my suggestion to people, the most important way to attack picking up or stashing or whatever prospects is making sure the move that you're making isn't 100% related to immediate production. And what I'm getting by that is people dropping starters left and right to pick up the Lupercitos and the Becks and the Manzardos, because then if they struggle, you're put in a position of garbage. But if you can drop from your depth of your bench on players that kind of go in and out, that you can then hold for 2 weeks while you're seeing what's happening. Prospects should be treated more in speculation. We should be able to come on and say, hey, you should pick up these guys, blah, 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 blah. But it not be related to dropping your best players, because people constantly will ask me when a prospect, would you drop, you know, this guy for Manzardo? And it's like, well, no. And so then it starts to be like, listen, I'm not negative on picking up these guys, but don't drop your best players. Use prospects in the bench side of it. And that's also why it's kind of fun to get ahead of it if you can.
I think another point to that is you need to have it in your mind that like, look, if I need to drop this guy at any point, he's the first guy that I drop. I only have him now if this is a speculative pickup and not a guy that has already come up. Like, okay, let's say, you know, I have whoever on my bench. He's a prospect. He's going to come up, I think, in the next month. He's an outfielder. I have one of my main starting outfielders get hurt. Now I need that spot to cycle through my other outfielders. So the mindset can't be, I've held him for 3 weeks. I know he's going to come up in two. I'm pot committed. You can't be pot committed to those guys.
Right.
And it becomes, you know, it exacerbates itself the shorter your bench is, right?
Of course.
As well. So, you know, I think that needs to be a mindset that a lot of people don't have. I found myself stuck with a guy that I know is coming up in the next month.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
I've had him for 6 weeks. I don't want to dump him. But he needs to be the first guy to go. So I think that needs to be part of the process as well.
And of course, the platform you play on matters. You play in the NFBC where there's no IL spots. That matters a lot. But then if you're playing in a 15-team NFBC league, then you're all of a sudden like, okay, well, that's hard to find a good replacement value there. How else am I going to find that difference maker? And one of my leagues, Kobe Mayo was drafted originally and cut. So thus he was eligible for anybody else to pick up. And the best player in my league, Steven Chapinka, picked him up this past week. And as you would let this happen.
Yeah, you would. I mean, he has been struggling. I put him in my prospects to stash article from this week in the video. But like, he is one of the next guys. He's in my top four of the next players to come up. And that is you want to put yourself in the situation where you are stashing from a bench perspective and not where if a guy struggles for the first week, it's destroying your teams and you're thinking about cutting them because it's kind of useless. Like you should sit. Sometimes the Tyler Blacks happen where they come up, they're good, they're hitting three. Oh my God, I'm a winner. Yay me. And then they get sent down. Like you don't have control over those things, but you know, finding the best way to balance out so you guys don't all lose your freaking mind. Speaking of, we wanted to talk about this with you first round and really the ability to hold on to players and using it in the first round.
Right.
What is your personal timeline for where things start to change? Because I've spent a lot of the first month with some of the videos I do and just talking people off the ledge about great players and that are going to turn around. I will probably not be more successful in any other month of doing my trade videos of guys to trade for than the first month. You want to know why? Because the first month is the small sample size. I can come on and say, go buy Julio. I can say, come on and buy Randy or Rosarena. It's easy because we can kind of find that dictation of you guys are freaking out. Stop it. Don't. Gunnar Henderson was my week one buy when he was hitting 210. And that's the greatest one ever. I'm not going to have that success later because the sample size get bigger. So the question is, when does the table start to turn where you stop giving these players the benefit of the doubt for their struggles? Matt Olson's struggling. Corbin Carroll is struggling. Julio is still struggling. Bogman wanted to talk about that. Acuna's power has kind of been down. Yeah. There's no pitchers in that market. So who in that first, second round are you really starting to get worried about and not giving the benefit of the doubt? All those players I kind of mentioned, there might be a few more.
Most of those guys, every year we have these guys, but you know, most of them make it out, as Welsh mentioned. That's why his trade videos are going to be great, but some don't. Is there anyone you're actually worried about?
I'm worried about Carroll, but I mean, he did homer this week at least. So there is a little sign of maybe hitting the ball with some authority there.
The miserable Reds fan thinks it's only because it was against the miserable Reds.
Well, that's possible. Although the Reds pitching has actually been okay. It's the Reds hitting, believe it or not, that's been so bad. I mean, the only reason with Carroll, I say Carroll, is because all the whisper campaign about
injury.
The shoulder. Yeah. It's got to be an injury for the most part. Like otherwise, first couple of rounds, I'll give him all year if I have to. You know, how many times did CC Sabathia struggle until June when he was with the Yankees? Derek Jeter had a month. He had a start of a season where the first 6 weeks were terrible. And I was like, dude, it's Derek Jeter. Just give him time. I'm just looking at the NFBC main event ADP and looking for the top 30 players. Like, I don't really see, you know, I'm self-hating because I took Lindor over Gunnar Henderson, but I'm not going to do anything drastic with Lindor either. He's going to probably come around to have something reasonable.
Let me throw Olson to you because I was looking at him. The positive for Olson, I mean, it's almost, if you just looked at his underlying stats, it's almost the exact same player. Hard hit is actually higher than last year. Strikeouts, a little bit higher. Walkouts, a little bit lower, blah, blah, blah. Barrel percentage it's lower, but it's still in the teens and stuff like that. The difference, though, this time last year, he hit 245 and 215 in April and May, had 17 homers. We are almost midway through May, and he has three homers while hitting 200. So, like, the struggle's back there, but the homers aren't there. Is he not somebody that checks the box? I mean, I'm not. I'm coming this from saying, like, hey, I'm going to buy on Olson, but it looks a lot worse. Like, Carroll's getting a lot of crap for how bad he is, right. But some of his underlying stuff looks bad. Olson, for the most part, is the same, but is wildly underperforming where he was last year with really no other major. Like, his BABIP is down, but it's not like, you know, yeah. Christian Walker from 2 years ago where it was 180 in the first half. It's like, it's still like 260 or something like that. So does he not check that box of someone that you're having concerns about?
No. I mean, his performance from year to year has fluctuated wildly in the past. I think this is part of what you get with Matt Olson. He hasn't homered since April 7th, but you know, so that's kind of scary, but you look at the batted ball data and it's not that bad. And it makes me think that, okay, maybe he just needs a little bit more elevation, needs a little bit of a break here and there. And I think he'll probably be okay. I'm still in the he'll be fine category, I guess, with him. You know, the Braves have played like four games fewer than the Phillies. They played in some nasty weather. Hasn't hurt Marcell Ozuna, but somehow, you know, Olson hasn't been able to get the benefit of that. And I don't know. It is wild to see. Acuna hit a ball the other day to right field that was caught on the track on Tuesday against the Red Sox. And I'm like, last year that ball's gone. And I think the ball has something to do with it. I think Acuna's knee has something to do with it there. There's a lot of things that might be, I think they're there. But Acuna actually, you know, he really struggled to have some barrels early on. I think he's getting closer now. But almost all of these guys, I try to preach patience. I don't. Maybe if I'd feel more viscerally if I had Olson anywhere. I don't this year.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. I have 14 teams and I don't have them anywhere.
So
sorry, go ahead.
Well, how far down that list of the, you know, high end ADP guys do you have to sink to where these guys don't get the benefit of the doubt? 6 weeks in, 7 weeks in here, who are, you know, how far down that line would you say you are? Is it round 5, 6, 7? Is it that deep or is it way before then? Like, well, what are you thinking?
I think that's a really good question, but you know, I think a good player to profile is O'Neill Cruz, you know, a guy that looked really lost up there. And then to the point where some people were even saying, maybe he needs to be sent down. Well, the last 2 weeks he's been hitting a lot better. And so just maybe reps are needed, especially Cruz is a specific case there too, because he played so little last year. That, right, you know, he needs the reps, period. So I'm keeping on scrolling. I'm like, nope, still waiting. Nope, still waiting. Like, and it's really difficult to find anyone in the top 100 picks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
So it's okay, still so just in the top 100. It's very specific cases. Then,
yeah, very specific cases. Like a guy like Nolan Jones, who has had such bad underlying stats beforehand. And, you know, so supported by BABIP, although he's always had high BABIP, even throughout the minors. It's he's maybe he's it there, but hard to say because he's now hurt too.
All right, let me ask you this on these three. Then you have to order it. I'm going to order it, and you tell me your level of worry. Number one being the most. Okay. And these are the top guys. Matt Olson, who we just talked about. Julio was one homer hitting 260. Jordan Alvarez, who's hitting like 230, but does have seven homers. Between those three players, Olson, Alvarez, Julio, your order of most worried to least worried. Even though I know you have kind of stated that you're not really, really worried.
So Olson would be the most worried of those three. Okay. Just because I don't think he's as good as those two players. And I think, well, that's also reflected in our acquisition cost too. I would say Alvarez second because of the injuries and Julio last. I'm least worried about Julio.
So now who would you not trade to get Gunnar Henderson of that list?
Julio.
And is that about Gunnar Henderson being a top five fantasy player? And or is that about, okay, little, yeah, is it column A, column B? Is it those yeah. guys struggling a little bit and Gunnar coming up? That's
yeah. We did Yahoo Friends and Family draft early May, I think May 2nd. Yeah, something like that. Actually, maybe even April 30th. And, the whole point, though, this was 1 month into the season. What has changed? So we did a draft then. I took Gunnar Henderson at pick 11.
I love that idea. Such a good idea.
Oh, it's great. It's first year we've done it. This usually it's just a normal draft, but we decided this year, I think in part just because things just got in the way and we just couldn't get it done when we could earlier, but it's great. It was a great talking point. It provided like podcast material, but also it's FOMO. It's what did we get right? What did we get wrong? What do we think we are still right on and we're stubborn about? You know, it's great all the way around. So I love doing it that way. And so, yeah, I took Gunnar in the first there.
And Gunnar's like it was actually one of the reasons that I did my stuff on him at the very, very beginning of the season, because I just said nothing about him in the preseason. I had no real thoughts. I was really indifferent about him overall. And it was just like, I wish I wasn't. I wish I wasn't because I agree. Like, I think he is a first round. I've been doing my redraft rest of season ranks and Gunnar's in the first round. But I thought that I wanted to do that little exercise of like worry versus also some of the players sure, that are coming great. Up.
And I have extra angst when it comes to Gunnar too, because in the NFBC main event, I had the 1.1. So I had Acuna. I have Acuna. And then I went Alonso and Lindor at the turn ahead of Gunnar. So I'm just
could have been Alonso and Gunnar.
Yeah. Every day, I'm just feeling that self-hate just court through my veins.
I have one of my DCs. I have that really crazy one. I should share it with you guys. I did so amazing with the Buzz. It's the funnest team ever. And it's in second place in the actual league, but then the depth kind of stinks. But I took Carroll. That's not fun, but I have Ellie. I took O'Neal Cruz. I had Wyatt, but then pitching, I took Jared Jones. I got Mason Miller. It's like the most fun of exciting, but then like, I just have guys that are getting hurt. Like I had Bieber on the team that got hurt. So the team won't ever do anything super exciting, but that was my going for the overall DC one. And it's
doesn't that suck happen. When you nail someone like Bieber, you get two amazing starts and then out of the blue, bam, out for the year. Not just like, oh, he's aching a little bit. No, out for the year immediately.
I think that team I had Trout too. I think I had Trout on that team. I had Bieber on that one, but Jared Jones is holding me up. But let's do some player debates.
Okay.
Boggs, we're going to start with you on this one. I'll do the first player debate, even though I know I've been talking a lot, but I'm going to go to you on this one because I know you don't want to.
Yeah.
First player debate is the only pitcher one I wanted to bring up. Shoto Imanaga has been electric this year. Obviously, radar on the Stuff Plus has been awesome. I'm still baffled and wonder how you succeed. I know some guys succeed as two-pitch pitchers, but like a not high velo guy that literally lives off a fastball splitter, it's fascinating to me, the success he's had. And I do wonder if that continues, but he's amazing right now, and I don't think the regression will go big. Versus the guy I was maybe most wrong about until today, Logan Gilbert, because Logan Gilbert got them things smashed today, giving up 8 earned runs, but he had been near unhittable early on in the year. So bad performance is in our ear. Boggs, what do you think? Who do you want rest of season? Shoto Imanaga or Logan Gilbert?
Man. See, the problem is I don't have...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Over anywhere. I think where he was going, I just wasn't really in consideration for me the way I was drafting pitchers this season. So I don't have many shares of him. Imanaga was kind of all over the place, up and down in value. So I do have a couple shares of him and I love him and he's so much fun to watch. I like that he's a little sloppy too. Reminds me of myself. I like it. But, I think I got to go with Logan Gilbert here. And you know, Gilbert's K percentage is as high as it's ever been, 28.2%. his Sierra and XFIP. I mean, his XFIP, his rookie season was over four. After that, every single year, it's been consistently under four. It's at its lowest this year. 3.32 and 3.27 are his XFIP in Sierra. You know, that's before he got smashed today, as Welsh said. Nine earnings today, by the way, in the game. So that was that's a tough blow. But a lot of guys coming from overseas get this initial, you know, great look. The league figures them out a little bit or whatever it is, and they start getting hit later. So I'm enjoying this surge from Imanaga right now. Like I said, no shares of Gilbert, or not many shares, maybe one across all my leagues. So I haven't been paying as much attention to him, but I think I do want to take Gilbert in this one, although it's like razor thin to me.
Jeff, what do you think? It is a tough one. Gilbert, still solid. He did have like an over run and a half expected ERA to his actual ERA before today. But, you know, he had been commanding like crazy, and the strikeouts have been up, walks up a little bit as well, versus Imanaga, who's just really been unhittable, but is a two pitch, you know, pitcher who's been dominant at that level. I don't know if anybody else cares about that, but what say you, rest of season, Gilbert or Imanaga?
I mean, I still know so little about Imanaga. When the weather heats up, is the ball going to carry more? He's such a fly ball pitcher, and Wrigley, when that plays a little bit differently, that does concern me a little bit. Can he withstand like the rigors of a full major league season? Is he going to wear down a little bit? I think those are concerns, but it's still close. I think I'll go Gilbert too, but it's like, I'll be happy to have both. I hate having to choose, because I think they're both ideal targets right now. And now that Gilbert's had his dog of an outing, now you go get him.
Oh, that's a good point too. I mean, I didn't think of that, but also to Jeff's point, 500 major league innings from Gilbert. We kind of know what we have here, even with this bad start today.
So. Yeah, kind of, but Gilbert is a continuous recreate himself type of guy. Like, we know who he is, but every year it's like something new. I think it was split finger last year. This year he's added the cutter to go in, the pitch mix. So he's always reinventing himself, is what I was trying to say. But I was super against it. I actually think I would go with him. And I worry I'm a little too focused on Imanaga just literally living off a splitter fastball. Maybe I'm making too much about that. Obviously, his expected numbers are a bit higher than what he's doing is like unheralded right now. But there's just something about like only going to that two side. Like, if your splitter's not working, I mean, his fastball grades out really great, and we know like Jared Jones does great stuff with that. I just don't know if it continues like you guys are saying, where I think Gilbert has been proving himself a lot better, even though he got lit up today. I like what the cutter is doing. It's making the split finger even more efficient. His slider is looking more efficient. The K's are up. I'm going to go Logan Gilbert too, even after that. And we're probably announcing this is a good time to go buy, like Jeff said, Logan Gilbert.
Yeah, I mean, The next one here, Jeff, is very interesting to me. Bo Bichette versus Jeremy Pena for the rest of the season. Because Pena, I have a buddy that's an Astros fan, and he listens to all the games. He's been harping about Pena's going to have a great year. He changed his swing. I saw it in spring training. The announcers were talking about how he doesn't move his head anymore. And that's the big thing. He's kind of had a head bobble last year. He stopped that. Now he's smashing the ball. Bo Bichette has been flat out bad. So, we know what Bo Bichette is, or we know what he can be on the high end, which is, I think we expect more from Pena, but Pena is doing it right now. And Bichette's been bad for a while now. Who are you picking in this one?
The fact that we're even asking this question just shows how bad it's gone for Bo Bichette this year. Right. And how well it's gone for Pena both, too. Not to discredit Pena, but these are guys that were 10 rounds apart. And now we're asking, as an equivalent. Bo Bichette isn't going to run. I mean, I think the fact that he's got three bags this year is kind of a miracle, because his sprint speed continues to go down. I was wondering, guys, if you think that the changes in the Toronto ballpark have affected like all these right-handed hitters, maybe a little bit more than we thought. Look at Vlad's numbers at home versus on the road, Springer's numbers, Bichette. I think there might be something to the fact we all thought, oh, they're changing the dimensions. It's Rogers Center is going to be a great place for them to hit. It was already great. Now we're going to make it even better, and it's been worse the last year and a half. See, I really hate to be the recency bias guy, but I don't think it is
recency bias, though, is it?
Yeah. I think it might be Pena. I mean, you cited good reasons why, you know, why Pena's uptick in performance has been there. I don't know why Bichette's not hitting for average at all. I mean, you expect him to be able to at least still have, you know, his hit tool to be okay, but that he's getting moved down to the lineup now. These are ugly things to look at.
His BABIP is 133 points down from last season.
I mean, that's it's a regressional type of thing. Like, you know, he can bounce back from that. But the problem is, like you guys are stating, there's just not a lot of support. And that's where, you know, people are wondering, like, why do people take certain stance, whatever? Like, Bo Bichette's always been a pretty good contact hitter. Some of the things I look at, they look absurd that they won't continue, which makes me think you're going to bounce back. But it's also just not like awesome support. So here's what I'm talking about. 9.6% barrel rate last year. It's 1.8 this year. That's not
surreal.
He's for the three straight seasons, he's had at least a 9. He's never had an under 8.8 barrel percentage. So when I see that, I'm like, well, that's not going to continue. But he's hitting the ball less hard. His expected average numbers are atrocious right now. He's kind of been having a declining ability to for like a launch angle. His average EV is going down. His max EV is going down. Like, those aren't good. There's only so long that you can be like, hey, this really great player is going to bounce back. I'm just not so sure he does. I'm also not so sure that Jeremy Pena continues this pace. I think that's like another important thing, because sometimes in these, you have this balance of like, Bichette is going so far down crossing, and then you're going to have, you know, Pena crossing this side that's going to come down. If Pena is going to regress and Bichette's going to come back up, where does that end up meeting? And that's the tricky part, because like Jeremy Pena, he's a fine hitter, low hard hit numbers, pretty crappy barrel percentage as well. He doesn't walk. He's just not striking out. And I think if I'm looking correctly, or let me go look, I think his BABIP is, it's not crazy up, but it's like, you know, 40-ish points higher than normal. I think he's going to come back down, but I think Pena's going to run more. So I kind of think I could get down with this as well, because I just don't know what's left for Bichette. He just doesn't have any other great signs. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends with 3 stolen bases by the end of the year, the 3 that he has, and the ballpark isn't friendly. So I'm going to go with Jeremy Pena too. And that feels weird.
It does. One more Bichette stat that I caught my eye. Used to be pull percentage was around 29%. Last year, it dropped to 27.2. Maybe that was our canary in the coal mine. It's 21.1% this year. Rob DiPietro is the dead pull hitter. This is the dead oppo hitter all of a sudden now. And, you know, usually you hear, you know, this is where you hear the broadcasters. Well, you know, he's really seeing the ball well, and he's driving to right center. No, that's not true. Not true. You want him to be a pull hitter there. You want those pulls. And
especially when you're not a big hard hit guy that doesn't barrel the ball at incredible degrees. You would want him to. That's one of those things I picked apart. Again, it's just in the analysis when you just kind of mess stuff up. When I looked at like CJ Abrams, you were just like, wow, I think what he did last year was he optimized every bit of his ability. And a lot of that came from like getting the ball in the air and pulling it. That also doesn't feel as sticky. Like, you know, you got to have a really good, a high pull rate.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League,
why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. With that launch angle to make this work, and that feels like that could kind of waver. So my whole thing was like, I didn't think his homers were sustainable. Okay, well, like, please, Bichette, do that. Stop hitting it opposite field when you don't hit it really hard. That's just going to be doubles power all day. You should pull the ball in the air as much as possible, and he can't do that right now. And that's... Yeah. I don't know. I saw an interview he did where someone asked him what the most important stat was. And they started asking, like, you know, they were saying like obviously like homers, but then they started getting into like analytical things. And he was just like average, batting average. And that made me think of fantasy owners, because of how fantasy people get all about batting average and ERA and stuff like that. And that he said that. But then they kind of pushed back on him about like barrel percentage and stuff, I think. And he kind of went back on it, but he's just like, yeah, batting average, I think, is the best signs of success. And I was like, well, Be good if you did more of that.
Player. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Batting average that's with your
me being more. Like, I think your weight matters the most. It's like, yeah. Really? You do? Okay.
You gotta worry sometimes. Is Bo Bichette just becoming a couple notches better than Luis Arraez without the average? Like, oh. You gotta get the counting stat. I'm not saying he is. Like, he has better year. I mean, what did he have last year? He had 20 homers. Like, Luis Arraez, his career is gonna have like 48 or something. But it's fine. This does feel like it's not the complete guy that we know, Bo Bichette, but I just don't know it's going to bounce back in a great way. Let's do one more. And then I just want to ask a couple pickups here. This one, we mentioned Nick Castellanos earlier. So get Nick Castellanos in your head. But another player I felt like I was kind of dismissive of, but boy, I was watching him yesterday. The power is just elite. Nick Castellanos versus Brent Rooker rest of season. You want to talk about a beautiful looking baseball savant page outside of your strikeout issues, which he has 33%, right. But huge 19% barrel rate, 51% hard hit rate. He's walking double digit percentage of the time. He has an expected batting average that is supportive of his current .277 and 9 freaking homers right now. Brent Rooker. So I bring it to you, Jeff, in that setup. I gave you Brent Rooker's numbers. Castellanos's are not great, but it looks like he might have the ability to start turning the corner. Who would you rather have rest of season?
Again, I'm going to go back to Rooker just with the acknowledgement that batting average is going to be a problem. He had 30 homers last year, though. The power is legit. I don't need to be sold on the power anymore. I had Ellen Adair on our podcast 2 weeks ago, talking about Philly stuff. And she said an interesting point about Castellanos. Reminds her of the type of player that tries to do the same things he's always done because it's always worked, but he just can't do it. You know, I don't know if you guys are golfers at all, but you know, I used to hit my 8-iron 155. Now it's like 145, but I keep on trying to hit it at 155 and just going to shockingly, I come up short. I feel like that's kind of the thing going on with Castellanos. And Rooker, he's getting this chance. He's got holes in his swing. He's going to have, you know, he's going to have Stanton-esque slumps, but he's going to have Stanton-like power at times too. I'll go ahead and I'll take that trade off.
There's a reason we're not at the golf event at First Pitch. We're neither right. One of them. I have played a couple times. I've done full course. I haven't played an actual, like, you know, 18 or 9 in like 20 years.
Okay.
But I've done some top golf. Okay, I like cool. To see Bogman golf. I like to yeah, Bogman.
I'm sure you golfing.
Yeah. No. You much of a golfer?
No. Our buddy Casey Bubba hates that I don't like golf because I lived in Scottsdale for so long and now I live on a golf course.
Oh, even worse.
My cousin works for the golf course. I can play for free whenever I want. I don't care. Golf doesn't matter to me at all. It's just not
of course. Isn't that the way it always goes? Yeah.
I think it's one way or the other. You're either obsessed with golf or you just do not care.
And I've said this a lot. I actually think golf is fine. Except I'm tall and I'm almost 100% positive. I need specialized clubs because I can't hit. I can't hit a driver. I can hit irons. I'm actually pretty good with hitting irons. I cannot hit a driver because I don't think I've had the proper sized,
and there's clubs. Nothing worse than not being able to hit driver. Hitting driver is the funnest thing you can do. And you smoke
it's a
driver.
I can't do it. So good. I think I've hit like two good shots with a driver in my entire life.
Yeah.
All right. Boggs, Castellanos, Rooker. What side?
I mean, it's got to be Rooker with the way he's going now. And the fact that Casty is a little bit older and, you know, Jeff was putting it more poetically than I will. But it's the falling knife. Guy's old. You know, and Rooker's a guy that's had injuries. And typically, I don't like those guys on my fantasy teams, but Rooker is smashing the ball right now. You know, the context in his team is not great. The lineup isn't great. Those are the things that we don't like with him. Those are the downsides, obviously. And could I look foolish in a month on this? Of course. Casty has been a good player for a long time. Mm-hmm. When we're down here talking about these guys, give me the guy that's hot right now to carry it on. So I'm taking Rooker.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that they're going to be too much different. Even if Rooker stabilizes more and Castellanos kind of starts picking it up. I don't know, man. Like Rooker doesn't hit lefties super well, but it's not, he hit two, what was it? Or think he hits 233, but I think in the month of April, he struggled overall. Yeah, he hit 233 in April, and he still had five homers. He hits 233 against lefties. He still hit three homers off of lefties. His barrel percentage, hard hit are absolutely what you're looking for a player that has the ability to sustain some of this. I'm going to go Rooker too, but I'm open that Castellanos might end up like at the very end, be a little bit better. Rooker could go through some really bad spell and the batting average could absolutely sink. If Rooker can stay over 240, you're going to get 30 plus homers again. And he's probably going to be better than some of those swings. Yeah. I really do think you can go with Rooker at this point. And I don't even know what Rooker's ownership percentages look like. I don't think they're super high. I think in CB, wasn't it CBS like 60 something percent? Am I making that up? I'm going to look here real quick and see if I can find it. I mean, I want to say his ownership percentages are 63%. Guess what? He was 26% a week ago, Brent Rooker.
Well,
he probably should be owned. Everyone's freaking out. This, though, Joey Lou Perfido. Go get Brent Rooker. Go get Brent Rooker.
Listen to this. I'm looking on Yahoo. 70% rostered, up 49% in the last one day. So he got literally over almost 50% of his ownership in one day yesterday. People are now on Brent Rooker. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, we're jumping. Last up here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Mike Ford.
It's Mike Ford, I know, but it's Mike Ford in Great American Small Park. So maybe squinting, but the Reds schedule is terrible anyhow. They get the Dodgers a couple of times in this month. They get another series with the Diamondbacks. It's not good. But
at least you got Ellie. At least you got Ellie.
We do have Ellie. He's fun, and we'll get McLean back at some point. The McLean one was the one that was the real killer, by the way.
Yeah.
He's such a good player on base all the time. Just, it just set the lineup well. It's like the rug in the Big Lebowski really sets the room together there.
It hurt my heart. I think I was high man on him in Fantasy Pros ECR, and then I had to keep going a little further down. It just hurt.
Jeff Erickson, Jeff_Erickson. What's going down? I mean, you kind of throughout mentioned you've got the RotoWire show, you've got the serious stuff. What do you want to plug?
Well, first the website. We have a free trial. Everybody can check it out. RotoWire.com/pod. No credit card required. Just pop in your email address and off you go for a couple of free days. We've been doing something similar to this for 20 years and it works. People get a taste of the website. They like it and they want to subscribe. So check out like our projected starters tool, which is the best in the business. It helps you finding those two starters and you tie it into our My Leagues feature. And you can put in your league. It'll sync up and you'll see who the free agents are in your league right then and there. So check that all out. My podcast, I'm on three times a week, Sunday night, Tuesday and Thursday. And then the XM show Sunday through Thursday. I'm on Sunday 10 to 12. Best Coast, and then on Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11 in the morning, West Coast. So, keeping busy, talking a lot.
Best Coast, West Coast, if people don't know that. we had a little time snafu here because of stupid ass East Coast. We're all just so programmed to talk in Bogman. Sometimes you get stuck into your time. Programmed to everything is East Coast, and I hate it. I hate that it's East Coast.
Well, you're in Arizona. Nobody knows what time it is there.
Well, then that's the other thing.
Saturday Night Live skit. Nobody knows.
I'm way more cognizant than the normal person because when I worked in radio and we don't acknowledge time change, all you guys change time for me. So I'm very like, but West Coast, Best Coast. That's the most important thing here. We'll go and check them out. Check out all the stuff. Jeff does a killer job. Jeff, we love you, brother. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And we will talk to you here on the pod soon.
You bet. Anytime, guys.
There you go, friends. That is the episode. That is it. That is all that we have. But we have you who can send in voicemails in this league at gmail.com. Record yourself. Maybe you could do, you can't do what I did, the whole voice to chat thing. You need to do chat to voice. Record yourself. Send it in this league at gmail.com. 60 seconds or less with a take, a player debate, a blind play, a who'd you rather, whatever you got, just send it on over. Get it to us by Monday because we record the shows early afternoon on Monday. So send those in. If not, you can either also email that address with a question, or I'll put a Patreon post this weekend where you can drop your questions. But there's an order. Voicemails first, Patreon post, then email. So if we don't have enough, anybody has a chance. If we have too much, that's the order. We would love to have that so you guys are hanging with us. What else is on docket? Well, Monday through Friday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, leading off, Joe and I. On Friday, if you happen to be listening to this, Joe and I are going to be doing ridiculous stuff. We've got our 20K celebration show, which is going to be, we're going to ball out a little bit. So you might want, if you want some laughs while we're talking fantasy baseball, make sure you tune in, watch it on the video side. You guys know what to check out my article, do all those things, click it 400, 500 times, make sure each one of you individually click them. And I believe Bogman is going to be joining me next week on one of the shows. I don't remember if it's Tuesday. Is it next week or the week out? Is it Thursday?
I believe it's Thursday of next week. Yes.
Okay. So 1 week from today, Bogman will be on leading off with me and may even have another show in the near future after that. So get a little ITL invades leading off on Fantasy Pros. So make sure
you check that out.
That's right. Fantasy football info and all the dynasty baseball stuff over at inthisleague.com. Go and sign up today. And that is it. Friends, football, we're gonna go now.
Welsh, we're gonna have to do a mock pretty soon here.
What's coming up? Football.
Yeah.
I know Joe's been like, oh, black book. I know you have all your black book stuff. So it's coming up. We're not even at the All-Star game. We're like a month into the damn football season or baseball season. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's the way it goes. We got to get. We have our May mock coming up pretty soon here, and then we start weekly in June. So that's it's coming.
This is why I don't know about cutlets and fillets. There's no time. There's no time for me to know anything except baseball and be excited for whatever the swinging analytic metrics that Baseball Savant's going to be adding. And that'll be more stuff for me to analyze for players. I'm very excited. All right, we're going to go. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Thanks, guys, for hanging out with us. We love you, and goodbye for now.